Hey everybody, it's Keegan Fontaine, the world famous Keegan Fontaine even, joined today by Jacob Massey.
Hey, what's up guys?
And Jonas Gillum.
Hi, what's going on?
So today we're going to be covering the Honors 176 essential questions, and I'm going to start with, what's a computer? Like, what really is a computer? And there's, I think, a bunch of ways to define these. The most critical and essential aspect to me is that of an input-output machine. It's something that, at its base level, is able to accept some kind of input, perform a computation, and then spit out some type of output to us that's useful. But that definition is not restrictive, and I kind of love it because of that, because that means almost anything can be a computer, both the traditional computers we think of, as well as things like people. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I really agree with that. People and like factories, like you've said, can relate back and just be computers because they're getting something and they're spitting back out an output, which is exactly what a computer is.
I think you pretty much summed up everything. What I was going to say is like a computer is a person, or it can, at least it can be a person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a scope thing, honestly. I think because you mentioned factories with the use of like assembly lines and that sort of thing, they really can be considered some type of computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to jump to the next one, which is how do we use algorithms in our lives? So I think they're everywhere. Right, algorithms are something that are used all the time. The obvious example is the use of computer algorithms. We use computers on a daily basis now for tons of things, like right now even, right, us recording this. So I think that's a great example, but also I think many of like our routines and our daily processes can be considered algorithms as well. Jonas, you?
Yeah, I'd say this class has definitely like changed my whole like view of things. It's definitely like ruined me now. I see algorithms and like
we've been corrupted.
Yeah, by everything. Everywhere. Everything. Yeah. Like I can't like walk to a class and be like, dang, I'm like doing a computer algorithm right now. I'm repeating the same daily process.
Yeah, like in terms, it's all just perspective. Like the way I think of an algorithm, you're solving a problem. So like your problem is walking or going to class, and you know you have so many different algorithms to choose from. It could be anywhere from, you know, you walk a certain way, you walk a different way. Like, it could really be anything.
Yeah, but that sort of begs the question too: do we create or discover algorithms? Like that's such a difficult question for me to answer, because you can make a really, really good argument for either. To me, though, I think it boils down to asking whether we think algorithms are something pure in nature or not. If they are, I'd say algorithms are definitely discovered, right? But if they aren't, then they'd have to be artificially created. To me, I think it's a mix of both, because I think we do definitely create algorithms, but they make use of very fine mathematical relations that I'd probably consider to be algorithms as well. Any input?
Yeah, I have a similar view to you. I think it can be seen both ways. It's kind of a little bit of both. We discover them and we also create them, because sometimes it just happens and you're like, this is an algorithm now. What about you, Jacob? I know you have a little bit of a different approach to this.
You know, I really think that algorithms they're not intentionally created. That's why I think they're more so discovered rather than created, but I do think for them to be discovered, they have to be created. I kind of phrase that a little bit odd, but with
it's kind of like a chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
Chicken and the egg kind of thing is what I think how you're seeing it. Like, you can't discover it without creating it, but you can't create it without discovering. So
exactly.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, yeah, that's a different approach, but your answer is ultimately sort of like both.
Pretty much,
yeah. Okay, that's a new way of viewing it. I didn't think about before. That's
taking a dip in both sides, I feel like.
Yeah.
So then, we've discussed how widespread computers are. Briefly, you sort of touched on that. That's not something that's really controversial, but how do you think, how is widespread use of computing technology and algorithms change the way we work, play, and interact with other people? Especially, how much should we let it actually do for us? So to me, I think we've discussed they're everywhere. Computers and algorithms and computing technology is literally all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we're recording a podcast now for our final project for a class really, really shows that.
That we're submitting online.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like 20 to 30 years ago, we'd be doing something in presenting in class as a podcast or something.
It could be nothing like this. So in that way, computers have totally changed the way we work, the way we play. You know, video games, streaming services are everywhere. Social interaction is entirely different. A lot of it is done online, and that can have, I think, both very awful drawbacks, but also pretty great, very substantial advantages over time.
Of course, I mean, you could talk to somebody. You could be at one end of the world and be talking to someone at the other end. Yeah. But then when it comes to, like, in-person conversation, I know, especially when I was growing up, I had a lot of problems with, like, talking to people in real life because I was so sucked into, like, online communication.
Yeah, and I get that for sure, for sure. And it's such a fine line that you have to balance there.
Yeah, because computers have really, like, again, they've changed everything. It's revolutionized the way we do everything, and I feel like, especially, it's more prevalent now than in past, but a lot of our younger generation are, like, some of the social skills just aren't there because of electronics and stuff like that. So sometimes it can be a problem, but with moderation, I think it can be a great asset.
The question is then, how much should we let tech actually do for us? Because I think even despite some of those drawbacks, the benefits we already have and the potential benefits in the future are so extreme that we should really try to push the extent to which technology can do.
Of course. I just don't think it should be abused, you know?
For sure.
Because, yeah. Like, I mean, to a certain extent, like, if you're just using, like, technology to do everything for you, you're not learning, you're not developing yourself in any way, shape, or form. You're just letting technology do everything for you. Obviously, that's, like, extreme cases. But, you know, there are, those extreme cases are possible.
And I think that lack of, like, character development, especially at a younger age, is detrimental to, like, growing up into, like, the person you're going to be. It has a huge impact. Because when you're younger, your brain is a sponge. And you're absorbing and, like, creating yourself, basically. And it can cause issues, or it can be really a great, useful tool for you.
So then, what social and legal issues have arisen due to its widespread use? And what do you think new issues are likely to arise in the future? So for me, I think computers are a tool. And with any tool, they can be used for both great things and terrible things. Whether it be from maleficence, outright mistake, or just incompetence, being reliant on computer technology for a large portion of our critical infrastructure is something that we've kind of established it is, can cause huge, huge legal and social repercussions. And they're guaranteed to occur. Mm-hmm.
I definitely think a big social issue at the moment is, like, social media and, like, mental health problems.
Yeah.
Because that is a big problem in, like, today's society with younger, like, our generation and younger. Mm-hmm. Maybe even, like, a generation above us. Just because of how much people are on their phones and technology in general, you know, they're not developing or anything.
Yeah, because it's really easy to hide behind a screen now. And you can, like, again, it's a tool that can be used for good or for bad. You can have really good, there's a lot of really good influencers out there that are spreading good messages and stuff like that. But then there's also people who hide behind screens and insult people online. And that's a horrible thing that computers can aid, but again, I think that those issues are a problem, but again it's just such a useful tool that we should definitely continue
if we could, like, potentially just try to fix that problem.
Yeah,
if people, like, if parents didn't give their kids phones or, like, free use of technology at such a young age, I feel like that could definitely be fixed to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's such a huge that's such a complex issue, I think.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. The extent of social media, excuse me, I can't speak today, but the extent of social media, the way it affects our lives, is so massive. Like we are online on social media so much, like, all the time, like at least once a day, I think, for us three.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it has such a big impact. Now, like, when you go in for a job interview, like, your employer will go and check your social media presence and, like, see all your stuff. So that's why, like, it's so important to, like, keep that your social media presence clean and, like, professional almost, because anyone can find you.
Someone just told me about how someone got hired at NASA and she said a lot of vulgar things on a Twitter post because of it.
Yes, I've seen this.
And then she ends up getting fired.
She said it to She said it to someone who works at NASA. And she immediately lost her position. It's stuff like that. And then there's the whole side of, like, at least the legal issues. Like with AI, the way it is now, there's so much more copyright and like stealing of like people's voices and ideas, mm-hmm. which is a huge problem.
Yes, copyright law especially, because it's so complex and kind of ambiguous. Mm-hmm. that's definitely going to be a huge issue in the future. You can already start to see that because AI generated stuff is everywhere right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
big time.
In the past year, I've seen it has grown so much.
Yeah,
yeah. The big one, ChatGPT. People use that for everything. It answers questions. It writes for you, and it's a very powerful tool, but can do a lot of plagiarism. And I mean, do work for you and kind of deteriorate your learning.
Yeah, just if yeah, for sure. you can, it's used in two different ways. You can either use it for as a resource, which probably 10% of people do, and then the other 90% probably use it to get their work done for them.
Yep.
Yeah. So, in sort of concluding this, I'd just like to mention the way it'll affect my future career and my future, I guess, just general life interests. So, this one may be a little straightforward, at least at first. I'm a computer science major, so mm-hmm. the way that computer algorithms can affect me is pretty direct, because I'm going to be the one, at least in part. Yeah, I know, it's crazy, right?
I didn't think about that.
I'm going to be the one, at least in part, developing these algorithms directly.
Well, you're using algorithms? I couldn't have guessed that.
Dude, it's pretty crazy, right?
Who would have thought the computer scientist is going to use computer science?
I wouldn't have seen it coming.
Dude, I know, isn't that wild? But there's a lot of, I think, beneficial soft skills things that I can learn from algorithms, especially relating them to like analogously to, I guess, more general life things. For example, understanding the ways you can, I guess, make an analogy from networking to the way we actually physically communicate, stuff like that. So you guys, how will that affect you guys as well?
I mean, I'm a computer science major with you, so, I mean, yeah. You pretty much
stated... It might affect stated... a little bit.
it just might, but pretty much everything you had stated just sums everything up.
Yeah, and you're doing game dev, too, which is, of course, it's still computer science, but it's a little bit different, too, because I know you mainly want to be a programmer, like, mm-hmm. do the actual development stuff, but you will be involved with animation and stuff like that as well, at least to an extent.
Very true.
Which is a whole nother... ballpark, but you're still using computer technology for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm still using algorithms. I'm still trying to find or solve a certain problem and using algorithms to do so.
Yeah, exactly. So
for me, it's not as direct as the computer science majors, but I'm an architect, so there's tons of software that's been developed and that's used to help create and design, and those are pretty heavily used on algorithms. And besides computers, my own self, I mean, I'll create kind of my own style and I'll develop like methods that are more effective for me in my process. Yeah. So,
and those can be like almost like personal algorithms to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, this has been, I think, a great rendition of our Honors 176 podcast talking about our essential questions. We appreciate you guys for listening.